Ready to hit that now.
You know, the funk don't always give you what you want, but it'll give you what you need. You know what I'm saying? We never left. Yo, we back. NHFA in your face. Bringing you something good to your ear hole, y'all. Check it out. It's our time to shine. It's our time to grind. It's the phone.
What's up? How you guys doing? Welcome to another edition of Funk from the Front Seat, brought to you by number 9 right here, a.k.a. Funk Leader, Funk Ambassador for the Club Funketeers, leader of the Nappy Head Funk Army. How you guys doing out there? I'm waiting on Mrs. Linda Scheider coming on to hang with us today. Mad shouts out to the man behind the glass, Mr. Mark Lee. I love you, brother. Thanks for keeping it real and keeping it funky back there, man, producing all the shows and doing all the good stuff that you do. Hello, everybody. Welcome to my studio. Today's going to be a little bit more funky. Now that we got a brand new funky president, going to try to make things right. And Linda Scheider is actually calling me now. So, Mark, can you call her back and let her know I can't get this call? Thanks, brother. Call her back and let her know. I can't take the call right now because I'm on the air, but she might be having some issues or something. So I know you're going to work with that for me back there. I appreciate that, Mark. And that's what's going on right now. We're going to funk it up and bring you guys in right. Yeah, we're going to take it back for a minute. That's right. That's right. My man, Don Blackman, out of Queens, yo. Dennis Chambers on the drums. Yeah. Mad shouts to New York. I love you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. I'm in the New York state of mind. New Jersey, where you at? I love you. Plainfield, the people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Strong Island, representing Bayshore. My hometown, y'all. Bayshore, Staten Island in the house. Virginia is in the house, y'all. Virginia's in the house. My family's in Virginia. Love it. Down here in North Kakilaki. I love y'all. My god brother Raymond Bussey out there. Finally met up with him. He's in South Carolina. My friends over in Australia. I love y'all over there. In England. Love you. Germany. Dubai. I love you. California. What's up? West Coast. I love you. Down in Texas. Down in Houston. Sonia Murphy. I'm feeling you. Yeah, I love you. All the people down in Oklahoma. All the people hanging out. How you doing, Linda?
Hey, what's up, babes? How are you?
How's everything?
Great, great. Had a great Thanksgiving and hope you did the same.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. Can you turn your volume up a little bit?
I will do that.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Hold on one second. Let me get my headphones in.
Okay, I'm going
to do looking good. Let me get my headphones in. I hope you don't mind. I saw your message. I had Mark. I gave him your number so he could touch base with you.
Okay.
So we can make this happen. I knew you was coming on in a hot second.
I'm putting my headphones on. Hold on.
Yeah, let me get my headphones on.
Yeah, there we go. There's one. There's two. Okay, I'm in. I'm up there.
Okay, yeah, I hear you much, much better, man. That's cool. Beautiful. So everything all right?
Yeah, man, can't complain. Beautiful sunny day. Cold is
there you go.
A little chilly, but, you know, nice yeah. Fall weather.
There you go. Welcome, 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 everybody that's just now tuning in. Man, shouts out to my very, very, very special guest, Miss Linda Scheider, is hanging out with us today. You know, legendary P-Funk, one of the first ladies back there in the day doing her thing. Sonia Murphy was waiting on this interview, so she wanted me to tell you, hello, Linda. So you can wave at Sonia. Yeah, yeah. She loves. She said, yo, I love me some Linda Scheider.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, well,
she is really, you know, she's one of me and Donna's favorite people because she's always in touch, always on the one. I really love
yes,
that
she
girl.
Is.
She's awesome.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And I just shouted her out. She had a birthday last week, too.
Oh, wow. Happy belated, girl.
Yeah, yeah. Her birthday, yeah. So we was, you know, playing around with that on Facebook and sending shout outs and stuff. So, what I was going to say is that it's so nice to see you.
I know this is our first audio video. I had to put some makeup on and stuff, and couldn't do PJs this time.
Yep, because I was telling people I do a script for every show, and I don't know if you can see the date when you came on. It was actually back in June. It was like June. It was June 13th, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, because I go back and I look at notes, but I script the whole show before I do it. And I was like, wow, Linda was on before we started doing the video thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I had to get a little glam for the camera. You know how
I do. I ain't mad at you, sweetie. You look beautiful. You know what I'm saying? You. I know you got to glam it up. It's all good. You're a beautiful woman. But yeah. So, you know, and it's funny because I knew I was having you on, and I knew it was post-election and post-stuff. Now we're past that. I mean, it was pre-election. Now it's post. But we got a lot to talk about because I was like, please, just give us this one, and then we'll do the rest. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think the creator with and kind of too, when we last spoke, 2020 was in there and George Floyd thing, and it was just so much how so many have changed in the course
last
of
summer last summer was intense with all the protests and all the shootings and all the stuff that was going on. This whole year has been crazy between the COVID and, you know, all the stuff going on politically and with us being victimized again all over and over. This has been a rough one. I can't wait for the next year to come in just to hopefully for a change. You know, because this has been insane.
It has been. And, you know, as again, we're hanging out on Funk from the Front Seat, my very special guest, Miss Linda Scheider. I am so honored and blessed to be part of your life. Trust me. It means a lot, you know, for people to actually chop it up together. And you know, it's important because we have these things that we're trying to get out to people, the peace, love message. You know, we're going to get your song about how COVID gave people the blues and all of that, you know. So creatively, you're a creative woman, businesswoman, you know, and you've held a family together. How's Garrett and everybody?
Everybody's good. It was great to have everybody here for Thanksgiving because my oldest son just moved to my old hometown, Columbus, Ohio. And so he brought his family up. I haven't seen him in about a year because he was in New Mexico. I went out there for his birthday last year and he's finally decided to move a little bit closer to the East Coast. So it was good to have all my grands and everybody here for Thanksgiving. It was awesome. Good.
Yeah, David Brooks told me to tell you hi, too. He's another one. Yeah, he loves you religiously, man. You have a lot of followers. Trust me. We all love you. So, you know, you hold it. You're one of the runs of the pyramid that made the pyramid grow. It wouldn't be no P-Funk if it wasn't for ladies like you. And I'm just kicking straight up. Wouldn't be there. You got all the people and, you know, the stuff that was around and your husbands and boyfriends and all that stuff. That stuff can't happen without a good, strong woman behind it.
That's true. I agree with that. Sure.
So your family came over. So you guys were chopping it up. Do you make sweet potato pie? My favorite.
No, I normally do, but I didn't this year because I was kind of busy. I've been making some jewelry. Me and Donna are trying to get some stuff, a website set up.
Yeah. Yes.
My stuff like this T-shirt I'm wearing, my Funky Fam T-shirt. That's one of the items we're featuring and doing some jewelry. Here's a piece I did recently. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, hanging on the mirror.
Oh, okay. You know, wait a minute. Let me see. No, it's not showing. I can't show you that. But I've been making jewelry, and so I'm getting all my stock together so we can get this website set up because we're trying to be business women and get
moving. And I'm gonna tell you because just between us and, you know, the people that's watching know, but Donna, Benevolent Funk and yourself and Otis with that whole thing, and they're bringing me into that. So I'm going to be there to help you too.
She told me.
Yes, I'm going to be there to help you too. And I'm working on the thing about, you know, moving Funk from the Front Seat to another higher platform. You know what I'm saying? We're going to do some different things in 2021. So just put your hat. Yes. I'm working on it. I'm really focused. I'm healthy for the first time in a long time.
I'm good to hear that.
Sonny, this shirt. I'm sure she's going to want one. She says she loves the shirt.
I can't show you the back because I can't flip my camera, but it's got a P-Funk sign and a wolf on the back.
Okay. I tell you what, send me pictures and all, and I'll post it all.
I'll do post that. It all. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you had family over and everybody was cool in it, and you guys obviously are
kind of weird trying to have a Thanksgiving and everybody trying to stay away from each other. That, you know, that's kind of something that you miss, you know, like being able to hug your family and kiss them and stuff. You're just feeling like, oh, I don't know where you've been, so maybe you better not get too close. And, you know, that whole thing is kind of icky, you know? Yeah.
It is, because I'm a hugger. And that's a big part of my thing. Me I can too. Tell you, hugger. You know, I love to like bring it in. I got you. You know, I need that. And like you said, it's just we look forward to certain times of the year to de-stress. Like, holidays are one of them. You know, and when you can't do that, we're all wound up so tight. Even people that were the most easygoing is. And I don't know if you agree or not, the most laid back, I can kind of sense that they're wound up just waiting for this thing to get over so we can kind of breathe, you know, again, man. So I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving. That makes me smile, man. I love it. I do. I love it, man. I love to see families together and happy and, you know.
I think one of the reasons I did my coronavirus blues song was because I'm sure everybody's feeling the same way, kind of depressed and frustrated and claustrophobic because, you know, you can't, you know, because of this, the lack of intimacy that we're experiencing right now. You can't get close to people or really, everything is so different now. And I don't know when it's going to flip back to the normal, if it ever does, but hopefully soon, you know?
Yes. When you, when this first thing first hit, I know everybody was trying to scramble just for safety and health issues.
Yeah.
But then after we kind of, unfortunately, and God bless all the people that lost somebody and people that have died. God bless the first responders. You know, how you doing, Kim? God bless all the people that responded and all the people that have been on the front lines and all the people that are so nurses, doctors, and whatever, so worried. I see them on TV and it breaks my heart to watch these people of all races, don't matter. I don't know what party they belong to. Mm-hmm. That don't matter either.
Right.
We're going to get into that. In about 5 minutes, we're going to just chop the politics apart. But yeah, we are. We got some axes to grind. But I know, I feel their pain. I see in their eyes, mothers, fathers, nieces, nephews, you know, and tell me, how did that affect your concept when you was trying to put this song down, and not so much from a personal experience with the COVID, but from just watching others? Did you draw anything from watching other people?
Well, for one thing, within the first few weeks when it really struck, I lost a very good friend that I've known for 50 years. She was, you know, like she lived in New York, and you know how New York was like at the peak when it first kicked off. So I lost her, and then seeing, like you said, seeing the expressions on the first responder's face when I watched the news and imagining the stress that they're under. And like I said, everybody else feeling claustrophobic and afraid. And, you know, that's what kind of gave me the inspiration to do the song, you know, because I felt like everybody was probably feeling the same way I was feeling, if not worse. And I just wanted to say, you know, say something to get my feelings out, you know.
Yeah. I know I lost my cousin too in February, the month after it really hit in January on Long Island, you know, because like you said, New York, Long Island, that whole part got hit so hard.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it was so fast, you know, when people didn't have time to adjust to it. Mm-hmm. And what is the name of the song?
It's called Coronavirus Blues. Like I said, it's not a blues song, but it was giving me the blues because of all the stuff I was experiencing and figuring other people were feeling the same things. I just wanted to put it out there and thank them. It's like there's something in there about the first responders, thanking them for their support and for doing what they're doing. And just, you know, constantly every day, the news is always bad. The death toll is going up. So I've brought all that into my song. You know, everything I was seeing and experiencing and feeling other people were also feeling that same stuff. I just wanted to put it out there, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad you did because, you know, you're an experienced veteran writer in the business. You know, you did stuff early on with P-Funk and all of that and, you know, the One Nation and all the stuff that you've done over the years. And I'm happy that you're doing it. You know, it makes me feel good because it's real. I know where it's going to come from. I know it's going to come from the heart. Mm-hmm. And when it does kick out, you know, you let me know, you get it to me, and I'll just get it out as much as I can to the platforms that I'm on. And
I certainly will.
I love the fact that you took, like a lot of artists, something in the moment, captured it, mm-hmm. and turned, you know, lemons into lemonade, kind of. You know,
and the very last line in the song, you know, just to bring it up and not have it just be a sad song, we my partner that did it with me, his name is Jimmy Cirilla, he's a killer ass guitar player from this area, mm-hmm. so him and I are doing it together, but the very last line is, when this is all over, somebody please pass me a nice cold Corona, you know.
Yeah,
we laugh.
Yes. 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 And see, Sonny said she can't wait to hear it, you know. And she said Garrett's pandemic song about being closed in is awesome. Yeah, we all listen to that on P-Funk Radio on the thread on Friday nights. So everybody that's down, all those funk and tears, we know. So the last line is, pass me a Coronas.
When this is over, somebody please pass me a nice cold Corona.
Yeah, you want to hear a quick story? Ironically, Corona, I do drink beer, is my beer, right? I'm serious. Corona with lime. That's, if I'm going to drink a beer, it'll be that. But when Corona happened, I switched to 420 out of spite. I was mad at Corona. I said, listen, I don't even want nothing with your name on it. I don't want the crown. You know, the crown, the Corona crowns, right? The gang side of Corona crowns. I don't want nothing to do with it. And Corona, I saw her in the supermarket the other day. She was very upset with me. You know, I passed by and we had broke up, you know, and I looked at her and I was sad. She was mad, and she said, but baby, I'm still here for you. And I said, listen, until you get well. And I love Coronas. I do. I put salt around the top line. I looked at her and she said, all right, I'll be here waiting when you're ready, baby. And then I went to my 420, and then the 420 turned around. I was like, you know what I'm saying? But for real, right? And this is my own crazy cartoon mind, right? So I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe I should get one. Just keep it in the refrigerator.
Save it for next year when hopefully all this is passed by.
Then we can do it, you know, when we can do it. But yeah, that's my little Corona breakup story. And I'm heartbroken. Now, I can read to you, sweetie. I love Coronas, man. You on a Friday night, I sit down, you know, roll a little something, get my Coronas, and have my meal, I'm good. So tell me some of the other people that played on the track.
It's just the two of us. Yeah, like I said, because of the virus, we couldn't actually get a whole bunch of people together to do it. So Jimmy did the music track, and I did the lyrics and the melody. And like I said, we've been kind of like trading off on the vocals. You know, I'll do a verse, he'll do a verse, then we do a verse together. And I wish I could play it for you, but I guess I can't. If I put another medium, I might get cut off. So I'll you know, like I said, it's not quite finished. We have to really finalize the vocals, and it's just about done. We should have it done in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so I tell you what, when you get it done, right, we'll set a time. You come back on the show, because I have nothing really booked for a lot of December, right? Okay. Or even if it's January, you come back on, and then we play it there. But I know, because it'll already be out, it'll be on the radio and stuff, but I'll still, you know, I still want my audience to hear what you've done with it.
Cool.
And then, you know, we can chop it. Yeah, because this is part two. We're going to do part 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, you know. You're in my life, and I told you, I can't let go now. Too late. I'm hanging on. You fly the, you're the kite, and I'm that little thing at the tail end of the kite. Hang that last bow. Hang it on. Thank you. Okay, the middle of the summer, we was all screwed up. We didn't know what the man was going to do at the top.
Yeah.
Now he won't leave, and he's doing everything he can.
And I kind of saw that coming. I knew
you did?
His personality that they're pretty much going to have to drag him out of the White House. And the funny thing is, the sheriff's office in D.C., they did an interview a few weeks ago, I think just before the election, saying we are looking forward to having that opportunity to drag his behind out of that building. If we have to do that, we're all kind of and looking forward to it. They were like smiling, like, please let us have to do this, because we would enjoy dragging him out of that building, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate to think that's going to happen, but the way he's moving right now, I don't know what to expect.
So let's take it back like a week or two before the election. Because you remember last year, he was saying all along about, hey, it's going to be a fraudulent election, setting all this up. He's really, he's such a narcissistic con man. Yes. But if you listen to his words, he tells you what his con is going to be in between while he's conning you. So he's really smart in that aspect, but I ain't going to ever give him any credit for anything because he just has no good intentions about life. And when he was saying all of this, I thought the first time I heard him say fraud, I was like, oh, so he's going to claim fraudulent election and mess with the Electoral College, you know. But let's take it back about a month before the election when he realized he was going to lose, right? What were your thoughts when you seen him every 2 minutes saying fraud, 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 hyping his people up?
Well, it wasn't so much that he was saying it, it was just the fact that people were eating it up and believing it, you know?
Yes,
and I
yes.
was shocked to see how many people actually voted for him, which let me know that he has scraped off that scab of racism in this country and let everybody who felt like that breathe and say, yeah, now we can come out of the dark and say, yeah, we don't like Black people, we don't like Latinos, we don't like Muslims. And it's okay because our president is with us. Yay. You
yes,
know,
yes, exactly.
That was a shocker to see how many people actually voted after all the things he's done over
Same.
The 4 years, that many people actually were still in his camp. That Trump hate, that Trump,
yep.
Trumpism or whatever, like they drank that Kool-Aid and they won't let it go. McConnell and all the senators, all the whole government is just so full of corruption. And they're
yep.
so... I don't even know how you describe this, what's going on with us now, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same. I felt like you did because at first I said, okay, I like, and Mitt Romney to me has always been, and Sonia says you're right, by the way, Mitt and David Brooks says we can send SWAT into the White House. But Mitt Romney to me has always been a kind of, despite, and I'd never judge anybody about who they believe their faith, but he has always been the kind of Ronald Reagan-ish kind of Republican that I said, okay, I can live with. I didn't like the Bushes, but I had to live with them, right? We all did. I didn't like the Republicans when I was a kid, Nixon and all of them, because I saw how they was. But we kind of had to live with them because at least they wasn't trying to really kill us. Mm-hmm. And then the argument that I hate to hear is that Trump is not a politician. But he went in and he's just doing what politicians don't do. But I'm like, well, what good is that? Because the job description is politics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if you have a job description and I'm like a cab driver, I can't get into the cab and say, I don't know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was hired for. Mm-hmm. And I hate when people use that as an excuse, you know. And this man, like you said, was so bad, put so many people in bad places, took out everybody that was smart and replaced his family in there. Now imagine if Barack would have did that, if Clinton would have did that, if Bush would have did that. You know, just your thoughts on his nepotism and his corruption with his family and friends.
Well, first of all, that is something that we've never experienced before. But once again, for all the Republicans in Congress to be amending all that stuff and saying, oh, it's okay because it's Trump. That is what is really kind of blowing my mind, that they are so complicit in this stuff. You know, there's nothing he can do that they will say, nope, you can't do that. It's just amazing. Even with this election, they're like still not giving my man his props.
Yep,
Biden is still
yep.
not president to them. And I'm like, what is it going to take for you guys to wake up and snap out of this Trump Trumpism that you're all swallowing and all the crap that he's doing? And yes, okay, as long as it's Trump, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yep, yep.
You know?
The malaise of all of that, and the fact that, like you just mentioned, he had a boatload of people buy into his thing, right?
And still,
and the people that I think want to kind of continue that thing, it bothered me more so, and I want your opinion on this. Voter suppression against minorities, people of color, brown, Latino, Native American. And how can you as a human being say, good or bad, yes, we live with the results, but you blatantly see this man doing voter suppression in the major brown and black areas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How people voted for that and denied it like it wasn't happening is beyond me. And I want your opinion on that, because that's a very important subject that I hate.
Well, it seems to me that when he was, you know, zeroing on Detroit, Philadelphia, most of the cities with a huge black population, where all those votes he's trying to negate, it just lets you know that we stood up, we put him out, and he's still not going to give us the respect of our voting rights. You know,
yep.
We're not supposed to be able to vote. If their votes don't count, they're ignorant black folks. They don't know what they're doing. They're just following the party line and all that stuff. It's just insane. It's insane. And it's frustrating as hell to see this going on.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And Curtis Wilcox says hello. He's tuning
Curtis,
in. You know
it. How you doing? Yeah, I guess your surgery went well. I'm glad you're out of the hospital.
Yeah, he did. He did it. Yeah, he is. And mad shouts. I'm glad, brother. We was all praying for you. You know, the power of the one.
Yeah.
So we good with that. Yeah, but he told me to tell you hello. So, I don't mean to interrupt you, but as people pop in, I just want to let you know, you know, they got your back. But yes, and my thing was, what are black people doing supporting voter suppression? I couldn't figure that out. What was that about?
It was kind of weird to see 50 and Ice Cube
and
those guys going with him. And obviously it's about money. You know, they're black men who have made it, got real rich and comfortable in their lifestyle, and not thinking about the people that are buying their music and have put them in that position.
Thank you.
They kind
Thank
of went
you.
Against the grain. That was amazing. That was a shocker to me, too.
That's what really made me angry. You know, I can almost understand the black truck driver or the black farmer. I get their reason why they went with Trump, because they're trying to get them tax write-offs, because they don't have a lot of money, but they are trying. And they feel comfortable enough to say, hey, I voted for the Republican ticket of the tax thing. I don't like it, but I can live with it. Mm-hmm. But when voter suppression started happening the way it did, I expected every black and brown skin Latino person in this country to step to the other side hard. I was scared it was so close. I was really scared.
Me too.
What am I missing?
When I went to sleep that night, I prayed, like I said, please let me wake up and this, because it was starting to look real scary for a while.
We was losing.
Yes. And I said, oh God, I said, let me go to sleep and pray to God that I wake up tomorrow and this thing has flipped. And it had. And I was like, yes. But then if they're going to negate the election, what about all the Senate races and stuff that the Republicans won and the House of Representatives that they won? If they're going to negate the presidential election, you have to throw all those guys out too and start
that's
on
right. That's right.
You know,
and
you
that's...
can't pick and choose, you know, which votes you're going to say are okay and which are not, you know.
And which states you want to say is okay.
That was another
the states
thing
he was winning
too. That when all those, you were at the representative house kind of flipped and all these Republicans won seats and stuff. I'm like, really?
Yep.
This
yep.
country is in such a bad state emotionally, and people are just not paying attention, or they just don't care. I don't know what
they
it
don't
is.
Care. You know, and one of the producers, Kim, hi Kim, I know you're watching. She always says politics starts at the local level, and it starts with the policies. Kim is a big policy person. Mm-hmm. So she's always saying, hey, policy, 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 policy. And I, like you, I cared for the lower end of the ticket, but I thought to myself, okay, the lower end of the ticket's going to be fine. I was really shocked.
Me too.
That certain people lost. And I said, like you, I said, well, what am I missing? I kept thinking it was me. I kept saying, I must be missing something. I'm not seeing something, because I can't understand. Voter suppression started when we first came here as slaves, you know? So how are you now going to be a black, brown, Latino, Native American person if you voted that on the other side and you're voting against your own interests?
And to me, I've noticed, I don't know if, you know, people might not understand where I'm coming from with this, but I know in the Latino community, I have a lot of friends that are Hispanic. There's a cultural division between them, like Cubans look down on Puerto Ricans or Mexicans, and people from Spain look down on all of them, the South American, Central Americans.
That's right.
And you know, the Cubans voted, and I think in Miami voted for Trump because they were cool with him detaining the Mexicans. You know, they don't like anybody trying to make friends with Cuba. They were like, and that's what Obama was trying to do, trying to bridge that gap. That's one of the first things that Trump shut down. We're not letting people go back to Cuba anymore. That's not happening. You know, yeah. So that kind of, I think, played into some of the reasons that they voted Republican, the ones that did. And I think that we also have that. We still have that thing, too. The light skin, dark skin thing. That
oh, yeah, we
plantation
do.
Plantation days.
High yellow. That's right. That's right.
Money people not giving a crap about the people that don't have money. And all that came into play. Because for people to see that Mitch McConnell has all these bills sitting on his desk, which he refuses to even deal with, that would help people, how he ended up being reelected. You know, yes. Same thing with Lindsey Graham. All his,
yes.
The way he is vacillating back and forth, you know, flipping this all the time. He should have been out. You know, to see them get another shot and then more people get a shot as Republicans to come in there and keep this mess going just is amazing to me. I just don't get it. Don't get it.
And you know what? You're actually walking in the light, because people that walk in the dark, they don't have our best interests at heart. You know what I'm saying? That's why I keep going back to Mitt Romney. Something in Mitt Romney, or maybe his family, his wife, somebody, because he was reluctant at first, but when he was the first one, I applauded him. A lot of people like, oh, I applauded him. I was like, yo, Mitt, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing. You're trying to protect the integrity. If you decide to run, you want to keep your Republican base because you believe in certain things, you know, religious rights and Mormonism and all that other stuff, which is great. I love it. Freedom of America. That's what we are, right? But when he came out and he was like, yo, this guy is an abomination of everything good. He really didn't use those words, but I know what he was trying to say. He was like, listen, he doesn't represent me as a white man. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of white men were so afraid that Trump had something on them. And that's my thing that I was going to ask.
And he might. Because
that's what I think. That's what I think.
Scandal runs rampant in Congress.
Yeah, it does.
If it wasn't pedophilia, you know, sexual harassment. I can tell you, when we were lobbying down there for the Gore Bush debacle, trying to change how people were voting, you could see how we were walking down this hallway in Congress where the office buildings are, and they were whistling at us and giving us all kind of looks and flirting. And I'm like, is this how they run Congress on a daily basis? A woman can't walk down the hallway without them going crazy. It was just, it was insane. Kind of told the truth about what they're really about. You know, they're just human beings who have gotten into a nice situation where they're very comfortable. They're getting all kind of money from the lobbyists and stuff. And so they're trying to protect their money. That's what there seems to be their this is what they're protecting, you know, their financial situation, their comfort zone, and not giving a crap about anybody else.
That's right. Do me a favor, back up just a little bit, because I want to be able to see your whole face. Yeah, your whole thing. Yeah, there you go. There's that pretty face. Here we are hanging out with Linda Scheider on Funk from the Front Seat, part two of many, many more interviews. Today we chopping it up about what's going on around the world. Man, shouts out to anybody that has a birthday or lost somebody from COVID. Know that we love you. And thanks to our sponsor, Lynn Shepherd at the Dollar Store, IBM TV. Thank you. I love you guys. So, Linda, getting back to what you just said, you said something really important. You were down there on the Hill. You know, making change. A lot of people don't know that side about you. But tell us a little bit about that and your efforts down there.
Well, there was a congressman from New Jersey. After the Bush-Gore mess down in Florida, he came up with an idea of how to change how people voted. And it was basically to give, like, you know, when you go and buy something and they keep a receipt.
Right.
That's what we were doing. It was supposed to be where everybody was going to like vote and they would get a copy of what they voted for as a receipt. And the other one would go into the wherever they put the stuff, you know. So we were going from door to door, knocking on congressmen, trying to get them to support the bill. It was quite a few of us. It was pretty like, you know, about 100 people. So we all split up and started going door to door. We would take certain senators and representatives and we'd go and talk to them, trying to get them to go along with the bill. And they did, but it seems that once they did that, all of a sudden the state started flipping and saying, well, we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. We're not going to make that a whole national thing. We're going to, you know, so it worked to a point, but then all of a sudden it seemed like it got squashed.
Yeah.
And everybody went back to business as normal and voting and doing what they were normally doing before.
The powers that be, oftentimes, you know, the people that own the color blue, always get me extremely frustrated, because a lot of times, you know, something can easily be done, whether it be a health. Because my thing was, I dealt with a lot of healthcare issues, right? surgeries. I've had 10, right? But
oh,
it's not
goodness.
So much. Yeah, yeah. I'm so good. The powder one. I'm for Funkadelic. True and true. I can't be killed. But I'm telling you right now, until the good Lord takes me, humans ain't taking me. But my point is, I had to deal with the bureaucracy from that side of it, the healthcare side of it,
uh-huh.
and the political side. The fact that, you know, insurances wouldn't cover me after I've had so many surgeries, only because they said, oh, you born with degenerative disc. It's a pre-existing condition.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, but my arms still work, but I need surgery. That's not pre-existing. I went through, you trust me, I walked through fire, hell and high water, just to even be here to sit to talk to you today. But my point is the frustration I have with big bureaucracy,
mm-hmm.
And big government is just way too many steps to get
mm-hmm.
one thing done. Like, just people don't even know, just to get a street light put on your street,
mm-hmm.
or a crossing guard, or, you know, stop sign at intersections where poor people live at, it's a major deal. And,
yeah,
and politics should not be political. I have always said that. Like, they took, right, think about it, they took this and made it political. You know, there's no politics.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no politics in that. That's
no.
just a worldwide global thing. You know what I mean? And politics, that's the act of actually doing, but the Republican, Democrat, liberal side and this and that, I never liked that. I always thought that if a person is doing the right thing, you know, and I was alive when Kennedy got shot. I remember my
Me
mother
too.
Sitting on the front step, bawling, crying. I was 63. I was 5 years old, and it broke my heart that I couldn't console her, and I didn't know what happened. I didn't even know what the word assassination meant.
My grandmother and I were watching. I was homesick from school that day, and my grandmother and I were sitting there watching that. And when we saw him get shot, I saw her, like, her whole body just almost like she was going to faint. I had to, like, grab her, like, "Grandma, it's okay, it's okay." But as a kid, to see that, I mean, I started crying. She started crying. And
yeah,
I mean, it was just it was such a shock because,
yeah.
you know, everybody loved that man, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you see, and same thing with Martin Luther King. And
oh, yes. Yes.
When it was Robert Kennedy, you know.
Yes.
And then, like I said, even now we still have these mass shootings where people just
yes.
go out there and start killing at random. But they
yes.
were killing people that could have made some changes for the good.
And that's right. And that's where, when we finally got back and Barack came in, because Clinton, technically, they say he was the first black president, but I know they're just joking, because he was. He really was. But when we finally got, and Hillary should have won.
Uh-huh.
We should have had a woman in there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not ashamed to say I was on the Hillary train. I wanted her to get in there because I really thought that, you know, she, even though she was doing stuff or whatever, I really thought that she would make a difference. And when Barack finally got in there, the, you know, and then ran for another term, I was like, okay, maybe we turn in the corner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, and then I thought to myself, I was worried because I said, well, who's going to be behind him? Cory Booker's not quite ready yet. He wasn't
no.
groomed enough.
No.
I didn't know nothing about Kamala. Cory Booker, he's got to groom himself a little bit more, but he's going to be good because he's passionate, and that's
mm-hmm.
what the job calls for.
Mm-hmm.
I love Cory Booker. I don't care what people say about him. I love him. And then I thought, I looked at everybody else. Jesse was too old to run, didn't have the money. I said, well, we got to find somebody that's going to be able to relate to the times, because
mm-hmm.
Barack, social media, young people, he understood. You can't be president like it's 1950 and 60
mm-hmm.
in 1990, 2000, whatever. Trump says, we're going to take you back to the 50s.
50s.
What's your opinion on
yes.
that? Yes.
That's
What's your opinion on that?
Well, that's what MAGA means. If nobody's paying attention, that's exactly where his head was going. And you see that his election was a backlash to us having a black president. People were almost like, the white people were like, oh, this will never happen again. And they put in this corrupt monster as, like I said, okay, now we're back to normal. So we can
yes,
start being
yes.
suppressive and start shooting people, and nobody's going to say anything. Nobody cares enough to stand up to us. And the more that they kept getting away with stuff, the more they did, you know?
Yep. Sonia says, do you think Trump stole the election? That's why he's accusing Biden of the voter fraud?
Well, we know he did, with the help of Russia.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, so that's why I think he's trying to throw that back in our faces. Oh, you said it about me. I can say the same thing about Biden, you know?
Yeah. The one thing that's funny.
There's no proof. He's done nothing.
And this was one of the safest elections we ever had. You know, everybody, all the people that his people, everybody, like, hey, no, this one was tight. Yours was corrupt, but they just won't say it. And I think what people want is that satisfaction. You know, just say it.
Uh-huh.
Just say it. Mm-hmm. That's what we want. To me, it won't be done until he says it, because I'm not going to rest comfortably until I hear him say, okay, this is who I am. I did all this stuff or whatever, because New York is going to get him too.
They're waiting on him, and I can't wait to see him in an orange jumpsuit. That would just make my century, you know.
Yep, Maxine Waters
deserves.
Yep, she's on it, Maxine Waters. People don't know that Biden slipped her in. She's like, okay, I'm gonna be patient. I got you. I see you. I see you.
Yeah,
What's up, Joe Keys? How you doing? Joe Keys, somebody tell you hello. People are popping and tuning in. What's up, brother? Peace and love, man. Joe Keys and the late Bloomer band popping in. But yeah, so I have a question. How did you feel when you saw people in Michigan stand on the Capitol building with machine guns?
Wasn't that insane?
Linda.
And there was no repercussion for it. That's what blew. And they actually went in there, and I know one of the girls that was in the Congress or Senate, whatever they call it, they put a gun to her head, the black chick, and I thought, saw her on TV. And I can imagine, you're sitting there, you're supposed to be kind of insulated from this kind of stuff, and you got all these people coming in here with big guns into your inner sanctum, and it's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Trump loved it.
Yeah, he did. And I'm glad she stood her ground, and I love that lady for it.
Yes,
you know, because first of all, his thing with intimidating women, you know, misogynistic, that was part of the thing. And then, you know, his thing with, like you said earlier, just like come out of the closet, and whatever type of hatred you have, it is now okay because the leader of the country is doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, when I saw that, that's what scared me the most, because I said, wow, we really getting ready to go there. You know what I'm saying?
Same thing with the mask. With him not wearing one and saying you don't need them. Look at the repercussions of that. Not to mention how he just ignored the virus and let it get so bad. But telling people, you don't need this. I'm not wearing them. I'm too tough to be getting sick.
When he
got sick, I was hoping he would get sick. But, you know, but thanks to his money, he was able to overcome. I was so disappointed. You know, if anybody needed to get sick from this virus, it was him.
Yep. And you know, the way that his mindset worked during all of this, he never once that I saw actually came out and showed any empathy or sympathy for anybody that had died from it or their families.
Not him or Pence or any of his people. Nobody. Nobody.
Yep. That's right. And Pence, to me, I'm pissed at. And I tell you why, and you can tell me your opinion. I didn't want to see him at the last minute, 2-3 days after the election, say, hey, well, you know, we got to stick with the process. He was trying to back out, you know. Mm-hmm. But he had 4 years to actually do something and pull this crazy man aside and say, look.
Oh, he's a bobblehead.
Yes.
He had time.
Yep, that's why he doesn't get a pass from me. I'm sorry. Pence, you don't get a pass because you go down with the sinking rat ship that you on. And all of them are going down. And I'm glad because that's by choice. That's right. In one day, I saw the other day, Biden comes on and says, okay, how's the country doing? Blah, 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 blah. Here's the general. And he turned it over to that general, and the general mapped it out. And he said, listen, we got this locked down in 24 hours. We're going to do this for the virus. The plan was in effect. It was like, okay, America saw that, and America was like, okay, I can breathe. Now tell me, I got goose pimples when Paris rang the bells and said, welcome back, America. I don't know about you, but I teared up. I actually felt patriotic again.
Yeah.
You know? It made me feel really good.
You could see that the whole world, after watching this madness for 4 years, was so glad to see a normal, thinking, relevant person come in and maybe fix some of this a mess that he's made. He's leaving a pile of crap behind himself as he goes out of office.
Yeah, totally.
And it's going to take a lot to fix it. with our allies overseas and everything. Yep. He has burnt all those bridges, and now Biden has to come back and try to mend them.
Yep, yep. And God had Biden in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Because if anybody can do it, it's Joe Biden. Because he was doing
guy,
it.
And he's a decent guy, you can tell.
Yep. Yep. And he was doing this under Obama. He was always overseas doing stuff. Mm-hmm. We just didn't hear about it. He mm-hmm. has good relationships.
Yes.
That's why I always said to myself, if he gets in, he already knows what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, people made fun of him and this and that. I was like, nah, man, this man is brilliant. He done went through some stuff personally mm-hmm. with his family.
Exactly.
The losses he's had. And the fact that, you know, he gets it because he took a little bit of what Obama did. And said, okay, mm-hmm. I understand the social media. I understand what I got to do, this and that mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, you could tell me yours. Do you think America should lock down once he gets in for the COVID? What's your opinion on how we should try to treat this thing?
I think that's the safest thing to do. I know it's going to hurt businesses. But I mean, like I said, we've tried everything else. We've tried being loosey-goosey with it, and we've lost over 250,000 people.
Yeah, we
if
have.
If you don't do something serious and take this seriously, it's going to keep on doing this. You know,
that's
we don't
right.
know if the vaccine, everybody's kind of nervous about the vaccine because they're throwing it out so fast. I don't know if I'm comfortable taking it right now because I just don't want to be suckered into doing something that might harm me down the road, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I could tell you, I talked to people in New York. My ex-wife's cousin works for one of the big pharmaceutical companies. And I also have a good friend down here. I won't say her name, but she works for Pfizer.
Uh-huh.
And she told me, and she's a supervisor. She's been there for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, she said, listen, the vaccine is going to be okay. She said, because the one thing the government, his administration could not do is supersede the firewalls that these medical companies have put in place. Now, mm-hmm. we all know it's some tricky dicky stuff going on, and we can't really trust it. But if we're gonna trust it, I would trust it more if Joe Biden comes out or Kamala comes out, or you know, if they get together, because you know, Joe Biden already had this meeting with them. He, you know, he wasn't in the White House, but he's like, listen, we gotta really get this, you know. And I think I would take it. I wouldn't be afraid to take it.
Well,
only
I know
because
one company in the past couple of days had to walk back on their results.
They walked it back.
They were faulty. They were faulty.
Yes, they walked it back. And I saw that. They walked it back because they said they had made a mistake and only gave half the dose, which was actually more effective than the full dose.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, I don't want my kids to ever have to take any of this crap, but they got to take it to go to school. My daughters are 12 and 16, and mm-hmm. that's mandatory.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of feel some of us, you, I, some of us in that next age generation, we're already toughened up to it. You know, we just got to wear the mask,
mm-hmm.
keep the hand sanitizer. For those of you out there mm-hmm. watching, please have your hand sanitizer. Please wear your mask. You know, and again, we're hanging out with the beautiful, wonderful, amazing spiritual Linda Scheider, you know, and all the great things that she's done in music and, you know, politics and all this other stuff. And there you go. That's right. The One Nation.
I got this from Caroline, George's wife.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
So, I can be masked and funky too.
Because the funk is always going to be safe. People make fun of us. But one thing funketeers know how to do. Survive. We always gonna be safe because we gotta make the funk music happen. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
if the whole world was funketeers, there'd be no wars. I always say that. You know,
thank
there'd
you.
Be no war.
Thank
you know,
thank you.
There'd be no war. It'd be peace and love, man.
Always.
So, as we look at some of the laws that the Supreme Court are getting ready to try. Yes, I got you. I got you. We gotta go there. And he stacks it with this lady that, let's just call it what it is, she's not really in with the times. I'm not going to call her bad names or none of that. But she is so not in with the times. Kim said your mask is cute, by the way. So not in tune with the times. What do you think her mindset is going to be when it comes to Roe v. Wade first and then also the healthcare plan?
I think she's going to follow the party line, I'm sorry to say. And after Roe v. Wade kind of gave us all a breathing space to make decisions about our personal bodies, for this to turn back into the 50s again, I think that's where it's going to go. If she even considers, I mean, I'm a Catholic too, and I know abortion is one of the things that we're supposed to be against. But as a woman, I'd like to have the privilege to take care of myself the way I choose to.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that so much. Say that again for people that don't really get that, because you can be two things. Go ahead. So I'm sorry.
Like I said, I'm a Catholic, and I just feel that as a woman, I should have the right to decide what to do with my own body. That should not be a man's decision or court decision or somebody that's not in my frame of reference.
That's right. That's right. And I'm so glad you said that, because, again, people get life twisted sometimes, in my opinion, because they feel that you have to be rigid about things. But life is not rigid. Bruce Lee's book, I read his book, one of his books, and he said, be water, because that's what we are. The way I used to think when I was 30, I don't think that way now in my 60s. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. times have changed. Yes, things have changed. I got two daughters, you know, and I got to worry about how their future is going to be. Yeah, my daughters, I love them. They're adorable. I posted pictures yesterday. My babies, oh, my God, I love them. And, yes, they do look like me for y'all out there. So. I got a lot of compliments. Man. Everybody knows. They see me and my daughters. They're like, oh, that's the three of y'all. Yes. But, you know, just like the Shiners, y'all, the Shiners, all your boys, they look alike, you know? But, right, DNA, you can't stop that phone DNA, Jack.
No, indeed.
But tell me, if Will Biden, or not will he, but do you think, and I don't care if he does, will he stack the court and put another one on the other side?
Well, how can he unless they add some more members, because it's already a done deal. They're in their Supreme Court justices for life. You know,
yeah,
and I don't think there's anybody in the present situation that's old enough to retire yet.
Right,
so they're going to be there for this chick that he just put in there. She'll be there for 40 years. She's young, you know.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, you tell me yours. Supreme Court justices, it should be like a 3-4 year job, like everything else. I think mm-hmm. all those jobs that these people get stuff for life. We got to stop doing that, because we're not in 1700s anymore.
Because, you know, like you said, they don't change with the times. And some of the things that are on the table right now are life changing, and they should not be able to flip the script like that. You know.
Yep.
The Affordable Wade Out, the Affordable Care Act, the election. Yep. You know, anything like that should be off the table.
Yep. And, you know, like you just said, they don't change with the times. And here's the thing. Everybody didn't agree with what Barack did, right? I didn't personally like to pay taxes on healthcare because I couldn't afford it. But I thought about the greater good. I understood what the man was doing.
At least he did something.
Right.
Nobody even got a bill out there. The Clintons tried it. Everybody tried it. He was the only one that actually got something. Yep. Maybe it wasn't perfect, but it was something.
Yep. And my father always told me, listen, there's always somebody worse than you. Think about it that way. Mm-hmm. Because I paid my taxes, whatever, and you know, I didn't have, couldn't afford the health insurance, and I went through the whole thing. But I thought to myself, when I seen people worse off than me, I said, that's for the greater good. That's why Barack did it. He was a humanitarian. It was a humanitarian act for America, because we should not be living like we're a third world country when we don't have adequate health care. There are plenty of people
in the world, all across Europe and stuff, health care is not in this position that we're in, where you have to pay
not political.
For it.
Yep, it's not political. Again, politics is not political. You know, when you get to a point, as we are in life, and we've seen so much, I think your opinion is very, very important, because you think and represent a lot of people that are going through stuff, have been through stuff, and can see light at the end of the tunnel now, right? What is your light that you see? And then in a minute, if you don't mind, I'm going to bring my producer Mark on, and we're going to still kick it. We got time, because I know he had some questions he wanted to ask you. Mark, the man behind the glass, making it all possible. I love you. And I never forget my man back then. But I can, right about this time in the show, I can feel him itching every time. I can feel he's like, knock, 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 knock. Let me in. So I'm going to get you, Mark. But in your opinion, the light at the end of the tunnel, what is it that you see?
Well, hopefully we subside on this virus situation. We open up our doors to the world again, you know, where we're dealing with climate change and climate stuff and just making our relationships better, mending fences. We have a lot of fences to mend because, like I said, Trump did a lot of damage in these 4 years.
Oh, God, did he ever. Yeah, yeah. It's funny you said mended fences because I think about the wall. He tore down all the fences that we needed and still never built the wall. Right? Think about it. Think about it. Oh, I'm going to tear this down. Oh, we don't need this. Hey, Paris says the world, you know, climate control, you know, global warming. Oh, we don't need none of that. You know what I'm saying? Just get rid of it. The man, they said the man never even read his memos half the time.
Yeah.
You know? There are people coming out now.
Yes, he didn't do anything.
No, he didn't. He didn't care. He was playing golf.
Watch television and tweet it. Tweet it on TV.
This was my president. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, come on, bro. Yeah, you like, get out. Yes, get out there. Show, lie to me. Lie. You're already lying, but lie. Pretend. He put fake papers on his desk.
I have been begging someone to send that balloon over from London, the one with him in the diaper with the cell phone in his hand. They need to fly that sucker right across from the White House so he can see it. And to see the joke that he has made of himself. You know,
yes, that's right.
What the world thinks of him. He's a joke.
Yes. And, you know, when the world came out after Biden won, they told us that, listen, we knew it wasn't you guys.
Yeah.
We knew it was him and his followers.
Yeah.
And that was very important because for a while, you know, I was like, dang, I wonder if they just think we're all like this. You know,
I think they got confused.
Yeah, they did for a minute. For a minute, they totally did. And like you, I still can't figure out how he got 70 million votes.
I was like,
damn, you should be happy with that. You know, take your loss and take your 70 million and go do. Do you think he's going to start like another alternative network?
Another
way worse than Fox? Yeah.
I think I don't put anything past him. You know, a third party, anything. I wouldn't put anything past him because he's so power hungry.
Yeah, he is.
He's a megalomaniac. He's like a Hitler in a nice suit.
Yep, that's right. That's
to me, I equate him with that kind of thinking and stuff. You know,
that's right. Yep. That's right. Here we are hanging out on Funk from the Front Seat with the gracious, lovely Miss Linda Scheider, and we were talking about her song. You know, COVID. What was COVID?
Coronavirus blues.
Coronavirus blues. That's going to be coming out really soon, and we're going to have that music on here too. I'm gonna bring in my man behind the glass right now, Mr. Mark Lee, and
Sure
he has some. He has something that he's going to ask you, and we're going to talk to him for a minute. We got time to still chat it up. What's up, Marky Mark?
Not much. I was enjoying everything that Linda was saying.
Move to the side. I can't see your face.
I said I was enjoying everything that Linda was saying. She was bringing all kinds of truth and all kinds of knowledge, and I was really appreciating everything that she was saying because it was some definite deep thoughts that she was bringing us, and I definitely appreciated all of that knowledge that she was bringing. I, like you, Linda, I'm totally down with the whole concept of term limits because I know that even here in Durham, we've had mayors that have been in office for like 15, 20 years forever, and we're sitting there going like, after a while, you start to get stale. You start to get a little bit tired and everything. So I definitely think that we need those term limits. And I also had not heard about that whole concept you had of the getting the receipt for your votes. I think that that is a brilliant idea. I wish that they would have gotten that on a national front because I think that that's a lot of times folks don't remember who they voted for and things of that nature. But that would be like a record that you could keep even in your own personal thing. So I definitely think that that was a great idea. And I wish that they had actually jumped on board with that. And
me too.
One of the things that I was really curious about is, you know, we've got these folks that are getting these pardons. We know that we got one criminal that he's already pardoned and everything. So do you think that he's going to be pardoning some other folks? And do you expect that he's going to try to get Pence to pardon himself or to pardon Trump and everything? How do you think that's going to work out and everything?
He's already put that out there that he's going to pardon himself. And you know that Pence, being his bobblehead yes man, is going to do that. I think Manafort's going to get a pardon. Anybody that was in his camp that was supporting him, he's going to give them a pass, including himself. But he can't get away from New York because it's the state laws. He can federal pardon, but he can't state pardon. So I hope that I want to see that man in the orange jumpsuit. That would make my century.
Mine too. Mine too. He deserves
mine as well.
I know when and Mark and I, you know, we're good friends. He's my brother. He lives like close to me down here, and we've both been kind of involved in the politics here as much as we can. Uh-huh. Mark has a show, and he has people on. He knows a lot of senators, and you know, he knows just about everybody in North Carolina that's in the who's who of the political circle. Uh-huh. You know, and he's a good man. You know, he does a lot of stuff, and he's a good brother. And having you on the show from your point of view, now you up in D.C.
Yeah,
you know. Another friend of ours, Bill Tresvant, is up in D.C., you know, mm-hmm. and he does stuff with IBM and everything. And you know, you guys have a really good, closer perspective because you're right there. Mm-hmm. Tell me the climate, mm-hmm. the energy, as far as how people see this transition going.
I think that everybody is kind of amazed at how he's dug in his heels. He won't concede. He doesn't want to let the election go past. He's still fighting and fighting and fighting. And I don't know what his concept of real is, but this is insane. You know,
yes.
I think everybody is patiently waiting and hoping to see him go because he's got like 50 days to do something crazy. And yeah. I wouldn't put it past him, whatever it is, trying to barricade himself in the White House or start some kind of skirmish overseas, anything. This man is capable of anything negative, and we know that.
That's right. Yeah, your opinion on that, Mark?
No, I would agree that he's capable of doing anything. I know that I've told you, Zach, and I've told some of my other friends as well. I'm not convinced that he's not over there right now. You know, we've talked a lot about the Shah of Iran and what they stole back in the day and everything. But I'm convinced right now that he's pretty much racking up everything and has taken all kinds of things out of the White House. As I told you before, Zach, I'm convinced because, you know, Biden was there before. He's going to be looking for that.
Right.
Chair. He's gonna be looking for that China and everything, and that stuff is already gone out the building.
Yeah. Well, you see, he moved that Martin Luther King statue. He moved that out of the Oval Office. I guess he couldn't stand looking at a black person all day. You know, he got rid of that statue. Probably stashed. He might have even broken it, put it in the basement or something. You know.
Anything. And you know, the funny part about it is that this is what he did in Atlantic City at his casino. And this is what he did at his college. People signed up for this man's college expecting to see him speak. When they went there in New York City, it was a cardboard cutout of him standing there holding the book. I kid you not, standing there holding the book, right? He's holding the book, and then there's him on the video, "Welcome to Trump University." And people are like, excuse my French, what the fuck is this?
And I spent thousands of dollars for this.
Yeah. All the time. The airline... broke, busted,
steaks,
you know, you name it.
Water.
Zach, and Linda, isn't this the same man that during the protest came out there to go to a church with a Bible and had the Bible upside down? I mean, you couldn't even hold the Bible the right way.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, like you said, Linda, so graciously, how? I think that what bothers people like you, me, and Mark is how are you guys falling for this time and time again?
Everything he's done has been debunked. All his conspiracy theories have been debunked. The lies have been exposed, and people are still eating it up hook, line, and sinker.
They're eating it up, and they sit around.
I don't understand
me neither.
It, but it is what it is.
And I really tried again to say, what am I not seeing? You know, I use my third eye. You know, I'm like, what am I not seeing? How can this guy sit there and say, well, you're doing a good job? And we got 263,000 deaths now?
And counting. And counting.
And counting. They're talking 300,000 before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Here we are hanging out with Linda Scheider and my producer Mark Lee on Funk from the Front Seat on IBM. Thank you, IBM, for having us and chilling with us and all the producers that make the show work and the sponsor, Lynn Shepherd, and all the people out there that's tuning in. We love you all. And what I think we have to do, Linda, you're a great example of this, your patience and your knowledge, because people think when you have patience, you're not knowledgeable. Uh-huh. They think if you're quiet, you're not knowledgeable. Sonia said, so beautiful and intelligent, very inspirational. Thank you, Linda. Much love and respect. That's from your girl, Sonia. People think, David Brooks says, great show. Thank you, Brooks. Thank you. Appreciate that. People think when you're quiet, you're humble and you don't say things. You're watching. They think that they equate that to being not knowledgeable.
As a writer, I find that observing people and how they do things and how their heads, how they speak, what they're about, it's fuel for my writing, but it also gives me insight into people, where they're at, what's going on in their lives, you know? You have to be, as a writer, you have to be observant of your surroundings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I found, like I said, when I wrote Corona, it was because I was feeling what I felt most of the country was feeling, that fear and the sadness of all the loss. And I just had to say something about it, you know?
Yeah. Coronavirus Blues, that's a great title. I love it. I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, I love that title, even though you said it doesn't have blues nature in terms of the lyrics and everything, and I am a blues guy, but I still love the title, and I love the way that it's going and everything. By the way, Zach and Linda, I hate to tell y'all this, but I did have Thanksgiving. Me and my brother did break down, and we did get one of those Coronas with lime. So we did break down and have at least one. So we had one each. So we could not resist, so we went ahead and got that one.
Hey,
you was dating my girl on Thanksgiving. You went behind my back with my girl. Oh God, wait till I see her. Well, I guess though, if I had put her on the shelf, I can't be mad at her, right, Linda? I can't be mad.
No.
She went out with Mark. I'm not upset with that. Okay, I'll give you a pass, Mark. But you're supposed to be my boy. You got my girl behind my back. And away from my house, no less. But yeah, you know, it's been an amazing summer, like you said, Linda, and we got a couple of months left. Been an incredible year. It's one of the most emotional years I've had since 9/11.
Me too.
You know?
Me too.
Yes, and your thoughts on telling young people like my daughter's age. Let's just say junior high school, college. Mm-hmm. Your inspiration to these young people to how they can carry on through this.
You see what's going on around you, and if you have any indication of helping or any ability to do so, get out there. Be political, talk to people, share your thoughts, share your impressions of what we have done, maybe the stuff that we've done wrong, maybe you can fix. But it's about being involved now. You got to be involved because you see, if you don't, how they can just stomp on your rights, your voting rights, your life, your health, and not take any, you know, just there's so many things going on that you could help change. Maybe we messed up a little bit, but maybe you guys can fix it and be about trying to do that.
That's right. And that's so cool that you say that about get involved some kind of way. Mm-hmm. Mark, we've seen a lot of young people down here. I know I went to 5 protests myself. I call it the Rainbow Coalition of Protests. Mm-hmm. I've seen young parents pushing their kids in carriages.
Yeah.
White parents, black parents. I seen young parents have their kids in backpack shoulders. Yes. I saw a lady had a baby in the back and a baby in the front and was carrying 2. She brought all 4 of her kids. It was 100 degrees. We was kneeling for 8 minutes and 46 seconds for George Floyd up in Chapel Hill. Yeah. She had her oldest son was in the backpack, but the youngest baby was facing her in that little front pack. She had a double thing, and she was carrying 2 kids. And this lady, I asked her, I was like, ma'am, I got to ask you. I was like, why are you out here? And she said, I'm out here for these 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said it's wrong. And it was a white lady. She said it's wrong. She said they killed that man in broad daylight in front of my kids, you know. And I think that's how a lot of people felt. Mark, you were involved down here with a lot of stuff. What would you add on to what Linda said about the young people?
No, I'm seeing that a lot of the young people are actually taking the leadership role, and I'm glad to see them taking that leadership role, and I want to see even more of them step into it. As you know, my brother's got my 2 nephews, and they're actually younger. They're 11 and 12, so they're actually still starting to get involved in a number of things. They actually have regular conversations with both myself, my brother, as well as their grandparents, which is my parents. So they're learning at a very young age, and like Linda said, they're seeing some of the mistakes that were made both in our generation, in our parents' generation, and in a number of other generations, but they're also more open. And I think that they're a more open society. They definitely don't see a lot as me and you Zach have talked about, they don't necessarily see a lot about color or orientation or a lot of these kind of things. They just want to see a more unified world. And I think that that's something that is being striving for. And I know that that's something that funk music is about. I'm a big blues head, so even the blues music is about that as well. But definitely I'm seeing more unity is what I'm hearing from our young folks. And that's what I'm glad to be hearing. And that's what I want to hear more of. But I'm just so proud of the fact that they're stepping into leadership roles.
And just think about it, they have to go to school knowing that they might get there. Somebody might come in with an automatic and shoot half the population in their schools. They're under such a stressful environment. And with this Corona thing on top of it, you know, it's kind of scary to go to school. When were we ever kind of scared to walk in the classroom at our age and not and be concerned about somebody coming in and blowing us away? That is the stuff that they're living with now is life-changing and life-threatening, and if they're paying attention, and most of them are because they're experiencing it firsthand.
Oh yeah, they're watching us.
They're trying to change, make change.
Yep, they are. And you're right, Lynn. And I can tell you something that I personally had to learn. I had to unlearn my father's parenting on me, and relearn how to be a new school parent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't realize that my daughters, until we were having issues, and we went through, both my daughters went through something for about a year and a half, and I apologized to them. I even went to therapy for it. I did not realize what you just said, Linda, the stress that they were under. Even though I saw it, I recognize if they go to the mall, they may never come back. Or if they walk in their school, they can get shot by some crazy
movie.
A movie
theater,
concert,
church,
anything.
Church.
Yep, anything. Yep. And even though I seen it, it didn't hit me until a doctor told me, listen, children have stress.
Mm-hmm.
All children do. But it's different now because they're in bigger, larger groups. Mm-hmm. So they all, if something happens in Australia, my daughters are going to know within 45 seconds.
Right.
You know, so they're connected in bigger groups than we are. And a doctor told me this. He said, listen, as a parent, you got to change how you see your daughter's stress. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, we reconnected and bonded. It was a beautiful thing. Because I didn't realize, I kept saying, yeah, y'all got stress, but you ain't got bills. I didn't realize their stress was just as real as my stress.
Yeah.
So if you're a parent out there, please listen to this. Your children, their stress is just as real
as
your
yours.
Stress.
Yep.
It's just different. Yep.
And
that's the beautiful thing.
Able to talk
yep.
and communicate and let them express their feelings.
And sometimes you just want to have a good conversation with them. I mean, one of the best moments I had, and I hadn't even shared this with Zach yet and everything, but when we were having Thanksgiving, it was actually on the day after Thanksgiving. So it was actually yesterday. But the oldest nephew was actually sitting there playing video games. His younger brother was over there with my brother and his grandmother, my mother. But at one point, I just went over there, and we just sat there and vibed off of the video game. So like I said, I just sat there and had a deep conversation with him just about what the video game was and how the video game was played. And at one point, he's handing me the game like, hey, Uncle Mark, why don't you pick my character? So we were actually having that kind of bonding moment right there. But a lot of times, we kind of like ignore the kids around us and don't even try to like have those kind of like bonding moments. Because I just had that real quick bonding moment. And it was a real enjoyable bonding moment that I was having with my nephew at that time. And he was really enjoying it. And like I said, he was really enjoying the fact that his uncle was being engaging in a conversation with him and was not ignoring him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one thing, Linda. Gary is looking down right now on your shoulder, smiling. He's happy because I can feel him because I channel those guys that have passed on. They come to me a lot in my dreams. Gary, Glenn.
Me too.
You know, Tiki, they'll come a lot. Jimmy came once, and you know, we was talking about stuff, and then next time he came back, he brought Prince, and then Prince and Jimmy actually took me to that white room where they all jam at. Gary was in there, so he was jamming with Prince, and he was jamming with Hendrix, and Prince wasn't playing. He just said, look, and then as soon as I started to want to go be with them, I came back, you know, but what I was going to say is, I'm so grateful and honored to have people like you in my life that make a difference.
Make
a difference. Mark, thank you for building the producing, and you did a great show. We get ready to get out of here. But for all the people out there, Linda, I'm going to give you the last word. Mark, could you just give Linda the whole screen for a minute and then bring me back?
Give
her the whole screen because I want you to and then bring me back on so I can say goodbye. But Linda, I want you to tell people your last thoughts and something positive that they can take with them today.
just want everybody to know I love you. I appreciate all the love and support I've gotten over the years from our fans. Couldn't have done it without you. Stay safe. Love each other. Even if it's from a distance, you don't have any choice right now, but let people that you love know that, you know? And I just want to say thank you so much for Zach giving me a little, you know, my time here on the air, and wish you guys a happy holidays. Be safe, be careful, but be woke. Peace.
All right, the great Linda Shida. We get ready to get out of here in a minute. She's got this song out called Coronavirus Blues. That's going to be coming. I'm going to be popping that. Linda, I know you're on Facebook and all the social media outlets. Uh-huh. And please, I've been trying to get Garrett on. So please, just let's whisper in his ear, because I know sometimes things are like, I don't know these people. I'm not going on to do it. But you can let him know it's cool. You know,
you got competition, because he does a podcast every week too.
I know.
That might have something to do with it.
I know it does. But I tune in and I watch his thing. I was watching last night, so I'm with it. But I just, if he can give me 15 minutes, because there's some things that I just love the brother. I love you guys. It's all about love for me. I was never, into like who got this, that, whatever. I don't care about none of that. I was born to do this funk thing. I love you guys. I've always looked up to everybody that came through. And I don't get into the sides. And I know there's things that happened that was none of my business. I was a fly on the wall, when I was hanging out with Sheila and hanging out with Mike. I saw all that. I didn't care about that, because it's the education and the music and the love of this music. Yeah. Sonya Murphy says, thank you. We love you too, Sonya. You're beautiful. And again, happy birthday, because we know you funky. But I just did that. And for me, it's about the love of the funk, because I was born just to do it. And but yeah, I'm gonna try to get him on. I'm gonna still keep reaching out, and he give me 15 minutes. Garrett, please, 15 minutes.
I will put a bug in his ear. I can't guarantee, but I'll try.
No, I know, and I'm only joking. And we're gonna promote this, my man Otis Hawk and Donna Sneed, and you're working with them too on this.
Yes,
Benevolent Funk. So anytime you want to send me a shirt, I most definitely will wear it.
All right. They're girl shirts, because I don't think you want to be known as a funky femme.
No, I don't. I didn't see the bottom of it. But no, I don't want. But maybe I'm gonna get a couple for my daughters. Right. Send me the link so I can buy a couple for my daughters. They can do that. So again, man, this has been great. I love talking to you. I can sit here and talk all day, but I gotta get out of here. I gotta go Zoom, get back up into my ship. Linda, you've been great. I'm going to take you guys out with this. We're going to do roll call as always do. Thank you, Linda. And I'll see you next time.
All righty.
Jimi Hendrix, happy birthday. Yeah, man. Roll call. Woo! Sing it, Jimmy. Happy birthday. You the GOAT. Freedom, y'all. David Brooks in the house. Sonya Murphy. Man, shouts out. Otis Hawk, Donna Steve, Benevolent Funk. Curtis Woodcox, I love you, baby. Philly's in the house. The Detroit's in the house. Texas. New York. IBM. Funk from the front seat. Jimi Hendrix. You know what time it is. Woo! California, wake up. Yeah, it's 10:30 over there. I love y'all.
How you doing, Chrissy Rollins? What's up, Tish Oakley, Earth Monkey Energy? Freedom, y'all. That's what we want. Funk from the front seat. Doing great things in 2021. Y'all got to stay tuned. Man, shout out to my man, Mark Lee. The man, the monster mash behind the glass, making it happen. My funky brother from another mothership. I love you, Mark. You back there. Always on time. Always doing what you do. Man, shouts out to everybody at IBM TV. Love y'all always. Y'all keep doing what you do. And we're going to make some great things happen no matter where we are, no matter where we go, no matter what we do. You know, we're always grateful to have people that believe in what you do. And that's cool. All the people out there watching, I can't thank you enough. The little support that I have is beautiful. And you know, and I'm loving that. But like I said, 2021, look out. You know, I got a lot of things cooking on the stove right now. Nappy Head Funk Army's coming out with new music. In a partnership with Benevolent Funk and Otis Hawk, we're going to be doing some things. As well, don't forget, tomorrow, Dr. Tawana Anthony starts her new show right here on IBM.TV or IBM TV or whatever we're calling it now. She'll start her new show tomorrow, so y'all check that out. Mark Lee has a show on Mondays as well, and so does Bill Trezvant. So y'all check all that stuff out and stay up on everything, man, and stay up and know peace and love. That's what's going to make the world a better place. Peace and love. Number 9, I'm out.